Morning. How are you? Fantastic. Hey, it's Joy's birthday today. I know, you don't want anybody to say that. 49, happy 49th. 39, not 49. George said that. I didn't say that. Good to have you with us today. We're in a series called Jesus Is, and just want to let you know, next week we're going to go a little different. Today is going to be a little more ethereal, a little bit more doctrinal in some ways than maybe the last couple of weeks. But next week we're going to change it up a little bit and talk about how Jesus is a party animal. So that should be fun. From the book of Matthew, because he was in many ways. But let's not go there till next week. Let's pray and let's get into it, because we're going to talk about Jesus' truth today. Lord God, we just thank you for the blessings we have through Jesus. Speak to us, God. Allow your word to penetrate our heart, our hearts. We thank you, God, for the opportunities to be here, to serve you, to name you as Lord, to recognize that you truly are the way, the truth, and the life. Help us to understand that in a greater way today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So regardless of what you think about Jesus, the impact that Jesus has had in the world is irrefutable. The impact of Jesus' life 100 years after he left Earth was greater than it was when he was on Earth. And 1,000 years later, the impact was even greater. And 2,000 years later, it's even bigger. The impact of Jesus continues to rise. Over the last few weeks, we've been learned about some of the things about Jesus. We learned in week one that Jesus is hope and that he brings satisfying water for our thirsty souls. And we learned that Jesus is love and he loves us so much that he searches for us when we're wandering. And last week we learned that Jesus, you remember the storm? Jesus is a storm chaser. He's the Prince of Peace. He brings peace in the midst of our storms. And my guess is there's not a person in this room who couldn't use more of all three of those in your life. Would you agree? Right? We all want hope, and we all want love, and we need Jesus to be that storm chaser when the storms of life come our way. Today, I want to unpack a concept, and then I want to apply this for you, that Jesus is truth. Now, right away, when I make that statement in the world in which we live, there is something in most of us that kind of feels a little uncomfortable. Why is that? Because we like options, right? I want to choose between small, medium, and large. I want a steak maybe that's rare or medium rare or medium well. You know, we want what we want. We like options in this world. There's 50 million kinds of shampoo when you go down the aisle. I mean, we got, you know, you like olives? There's not just one kind of olive anymore, right? There's billions of them. Whatever option, we like to have options in our world that we live in. So when someone says to you that Jesus is the truth, it can grate on us a little in a world where we like to have options. Some would say, well, I'm okay with the idea that Jesus is a truth, but I struggle with the concept that Jesus is the truth because that sounds exclusive. We live in a culture, a time, a society that in many ways the primary value of our society is, we're not seeing it as much right now, maybe in election times, but it is tolerance. And I want to show you how the Apostle John begins his eyewitness account of the life of Jesus. He goes back to the beginning. He goes before Bethlehem, all the way back to right to the beginning of time. And he starts his eyewitness account referring to Jesus as the Word. Take a look at this. He writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of mankind," all mankind. "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and what? Truth, right? For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. My guess is many of us would say he's full of grace. There's songs that we sing, you know, Amazing Grace, that come out of this guy, Jesus. But when we talk about the other side of it, when we talk about truth, it raises lots of questions for us. Like when Jesus was standing on the Roman governor's balcony, after he had been arrested, he was before Pilate, and Pilate asked him this question. Take a look. Pilate said, "So, you're a king?" And Jesus responded, "You say I'm a king. Actually, I was born, I came to the world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true." And then Pilate asked the question, "What is truth? What is truth? I mean, really? I mean, who's to say what is right and what is wrong? There are no absolutes. I mean, what's true for you may not be true for me, and what's true for me may not be true for you. It's all subjective. It's all relative. Truth is pragmatic. What works for you works for you." What is truth? Well, Jimmy Kimmel used to have a segment on his show. Maybe you've seen it before. You know, Jimmy Kimmel, Truth Detective, okay? And he brings in these kids. He hooks them up to this mock lie detector machine. And he's hitting the buzzer, you know, when he wants to. Obviously, it's not real. But I want to show you this video of this 5.5-year-old girl. Watch how she responds. Let's take a look.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Now, this is the Truth Fairy. The Truth Fairy is going to hook you up to this machine. Go ahead and start doing that. This is called a lie detector. Do you know what that is?
No.
A lie detector is a machine that is able to know if you're telling the truth or not. Okay? So I'm going to ask you to just tell the truth, the whole truth, and not a half truth. Okay? Okay. Is that comfortable on your head?
Yeah.
Okay, we're off to a bad start. It feels a little uncomfortable, right? Okay. What is your name?
Joelle.
Okay, Joelle. How old are you?
5.5.
And what grade are you in?
Kindergarten.
Kindergarten? Do you like all the other kids at school?
A few not.
A few not. Who do you have a problem with?
Once I was playing on the playground, this guy was being really mean to me, so I don't like that guy. His name's Riley.
Riley, okay. Riley. All right. Anybody else?
No.
Nobody else? Do you secretly love Riley?
No.
A little bit?
Just a little bit.
A little bit.
How do we know when we're hearing the truth? I mean, I want to share with you several things I've learned about the truth over time, and more importantly, the benefits of truth in our life. Isn't that cute? Here's the most important thing about truth that I think that I've learned over time. Here it is. Truth is not a principle. Truth is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. In John 14, Jesus' followers are freaking out about the events that are going to unfold and are unfolding around them. Jesus has been having his last supper with them in an upper room, and he's talking about how his body is going to be broken, and he talks about how his blood is going to be spilled out for them, and he's talking about how one of his friends at that table is going to betray him, and he identifies the betrayer as Judas. And he's gotten down on his hands and knees, and Jesus washes the dirty feet of his disciples. And to encourage them, he says, "You know what? I'm going to my Father's house, and I'm going to prepare a place for you." One of them said, "Well, you know, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He didn't say, "I know some truths." He didn't say, "I point you to the truth." He didn't say, "I tell you the truth." He didn't say, "I am a prophet of truth." He doesn't say truth is a religion or a ritual or a set of rules or regulations. He says, let me be clear here, I am the truth. Truth is not a principle, as we often think it is. Truth is a person. And while the religions of the world are full of prophets who claim to speak on behalf of God, Jesus claims to be something totally different. He claims to be the truth of God. Jesus doesn't just tell us about God. He is the ultimate expression of God. Truth is not a moral standard established by people that we can alter over time. Truth is a person who never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. He is the one for whom all creation sprang, including you and me. He is the unchanging God who is full of grace and truth. So when Jesus says, I am the truth, he's not just claiming to be one of many different shades of truth. He is claiming to be the ultimate reality, the unchanging truth, the author of what was and is and was and is to come. His words are the unshifting foundation upon which we can build our lives. Truth is not defined by principle. It's not defined by two tablets of stone that Moses brought up from Mount Sinai called the Ten Commandments. Truth is defined by a person who was murdered on two pieces of wood in the shape of a cross. Truth is Jesus Christ. Truth is not a principle. Number one, truth is a person. Truth is a person. Now, here's the second thing that I've learned about truth, and here it is. Jesus reveals the truth about the character of God. If you want to know what God is like, if you want to know the truth about God and his character, we have to look at Jesus. Baylor University did an interesting study, probably the most, what do you call something that's really big? That's the word, thank you. The most comprehensive, I'll pay you later, thanks. The most comprehensive study that's ever probably been done on America's religious beliefs. And what they found was that the most commonly held view of God is that of an authoritarian God. The most commonly held view of God is a God who is angry, a God who is judgmental, who is ready to throw a thunderbolt at any time to the unfaithful, ungodly, and unbelieving. And I'd be willing to bet that that's the view that some of you may have had or keep, you know, that keep you distant from God, that keep you away from God. Who wants to be near a God who may want to crush you like an ant, you know, when we have a view of God like that? You believe God's mad at you or disappointed at you, and you believe God's in heaven taking great delight with his big red pen, you know, getting ready to put a big fat F on your report card. But Jesus reveals the truth about the character of God. Notice how Jesus reaches out to the lonely, how he fights for the underdog. He hates injustice. Look at the way he searches for the lost. He embraces the forgotten. He comforts the sick and the grieving. Check out the incredible wisdom that he gives for everyday living, the grace he dispenses for all who are screwed up. You want to know the truth about God's character? Just look at Jesus. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says this: the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Jesus is the exact representation of God. You want to know what God is like? Here's what you do. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. This is not a perfect illustration, but there have been several times recently, maybe this happened to you, but when I have looked in the mirror and I've seen my dad. Anybody relate to that? I mean, sometimes I see my mom, a little creepier, but anyway. But you ever look in the mirror and you see your dad or your mom? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's a scary kind of thing, isn't it? I mean, you're like, how did that happen? Wait a minute. If you want to know what the character of God is like, you look at Jesus and his impact. Jesus changed the way we think about education because he said we are to love God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. Because he said we're to do that. So the movement of Jesus led to the building of schools and the founding of great universities. You may or may not know that Harvard and Yale and Princeton and William and Mary all began in order to advance the movement of Jesus. Because Jesus taught, whatever you've done to one of the least of these, you have done for me. The idea slowly began to emerge that when there's a person suffering, it matters to God. And if we're in a place where we can help, we ought to help. So hospitals and relief efforts have emerged with names like Salvation Army and Red Cross and St. Jude's Hospital. Jesus changed the way we look at human rights. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and they are endowed by the Creator with certain inalienable rights. Where did that come from? From the movement of Jesus that taught there's no Jew, there's no Greek, there's no male or female, there's no slave nor free. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Truth is not a principle, it is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. There's a third thing that I've learned about the truth. Here it is. Jesus reveals the truth about me. Jesus reveals the truth about who we are. And here it is. We are deeply loved. We are deeply loved. We are the most prized of God's creation. God loves to give us good gifts, and he takes great delight in showing us mercy. He loves to lavish his grace upon us. English pastor and scholar John R. Stott made this statement. Our love grows soft if it is not strengthened by truth, and our truth grows hard if it is not softened by love. Isn't that true? I mean, truth and love are important to keep in balance with each other. Here's another way of saying it. Truth without love is brutal. But love without truth really isn't love. Ever know people who practice the truth without love? And they're brutal with it? You ever meet a Christian or a pastor who just loves to be brutal with the truth and beat people down with it? I mean, loves to straighten people out? You know what? If you love to straighten other people out, you know where you should get a job? In a mortuary. Think about it. Because that's the one place where you get to straighten people out and they stay that way. Otherwise, you're just going to get frustrated with other people. It's so much more fun straightening other people out than straightening ourselves out, though, isn't it? Jesus is full of grace and truth, and Jesus reveals the truth about us. We indeed are much loved, but we're in desperate need of direction. He tells us that we're like sheep that are without a shepherd. We are people in need of some wise and loving boundaries to prevent us from self-destruction. We're people who need power, a power greater than ourselves. We need help in our relationships. We're in need of rescue. We're in need of a clean slate. We're in need of a new beginning, in need of a repaired relationship with God. We're in need of a Savior. All those things, that's who we are. At least, that's who I am. Like the Apostle Paul said to himself, I am the chief of sinners. So don't think just because I sit up here that I'm any different than you, because I'm not. You know, I mean, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. That is the truth according to Jesus. I was thinking about this the other day. I've been in ministry over 30 years, and I've seen hundreds of people walking through the door of the church. And I've watched people come in broken and hurt, and they find God. And they had their lives transformed. I mean, everything about their life completely changes. And I've also watched hundreds of people walk into the door, and for whatever reason, They've kept their distance. They've resisted God. They couldn't make a decision about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life for their life. And I thought about what's behind that resistance. I mean, why is that? I mean, why is there, what's their reluctance about? And after a long time, I'd say really many years of reflection, here's the conclusion I've come to. Many people are more convinced that God is a taker more than a giver. That's the conclusion I've come to. People are convinced, let me define that a little bit more for you. People are convinced that if they follow Jesus, they're going to lose more than they're going to gain. They've done a cost-benefit analysis, okay? And, you know, they look, hey, I'm going to lose more than I gain. And they see his truth as narrow. They see his truth as exclusive, as taking life rather than giving life or being life-giving. In fact, most people equate Christianity with no fun, right? I mean, I understand why people come up with that. I mean, what sounds like more fun to you? Okay, a booze cruise or a church picnic? I know, church picnic. I got it. By the way, we are having one October 30th. It's going to be a lot like a booze cruise. Sorry. Yeah, George. Shush. Okay. So what I want to do is I want to address this issue for you because here this is important. This is serious. Because I want to talk about the truth about Jesus and the payoffs. Because the reality is, when you follow Jesus with your life, oh my, you gain far more than you ever lose. So let's talk about that a little bit. Here's some payoffs for you, okay? Number one, the number one payoff. Anchoring yourself to the truth frees us up. It doesn't box you in, it frees you. This is a truth. In other areas of our life, when we think about it, it's also true in Christianity. The truth about, for example, the truth about aerodynamics and jet propulsion has given us the freedom to fly, right? The truth about germs and viruses have given us the freedom from sickness and disease. The popular Netflix documentary, if you haven't seen it, you should, The Making of a Murderer, tells the story of a convicted murderer who spent 18 years in prison, but he was then set free because the truth of the DNA evidence proved he was innocent. Anchoring yourself to the truth sets us free in so many areas of our life, but for some reason, we just don't think that will be true in the spiritual area of our lives. And yet Jesus says this, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. You ever been tricked? You know what I mean? I pranked. You know, someone pulled the, we used to say that, right, pull the wool over your eyes. That's a saying, got to bring that back. That's a good one. Some guys at a bachelor party thought that they'd be tricking this guy that was getting married. He was deathly afraid of heights. They blindfolded him. They put him in a car. They told him that they were driving him to a bungee jumping place, and they drove him 3 hours to this canyon, but they really didn't. What they did is they put him in the car and just drove around a couple miles for a couple of hours, okay? And they had him doing circles for a couple of hours, and they ended up in one of these guys' backyards where they had set up a kiddie pool in the backyard, and they had him, take a look here, they had him climb over this barrier. And they hooked him up to the harness. See this, right? And this guy thinks he's going to free fall into a canyon. And he's so scared of height, right? So they counted with him over and over again. 3, 2, 1. And just couldn't do it. Finally, 3, 2, 1. And he takes, ready, watch. 3, 2, 1. And he takes this dive. He thinks he's going to go thousands of feet. He doesn't know. Oh! It's like, yeah! It's in Norwegian, so I didn't want to put it up. I don't know Norwegian. But that's pretty cool, isn't it? Is that amazing? I mean, it's terrible to do, isn't it? Now you're thinking, I'm going to do that. You ever been pranked? Have you ever been pranked? You ever had the wool pulled over your eyes like that? Jesus says we have an enemy of our soul who hates the truth. He refers to himself as the father of lies. He has one agenda, and that is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. His target is you, and he wants to steal your identity. He wants to kill your soul. He wants to destroy your freedom. Satan tries to trick us into believing that my way is the right way to live. So I'm going to drink what I want. I'm going to shoot what I want. I'm going to smoke what I want and be free. And as a result, we're the most chemically dependent society that history has ever seen. You don't want to be on the top of that list, but we are. So go ahead and be free sexually. Use your social media apps to hook up for casual sex. 110 million Americans have STDs. Friends, contrary to popular opinion, the truth of Jesus Christ is not designed to take away your freedom. It is quite the contrary. It is designed out of love to set us free. God's commands are designed to bless us in what we do. Now listen, if we would accept that Jesus Christ is the truth and say, this is the way that you're designed to live, this is the way God made us, what an impact it would have on our society. Think about it. Imagine with me for a moment. No more theft. No more shootings, school shootings. No more drive-by shootings. No more bullying. No more cheating. No more fraud. No more Ponzi schemes. No more families broken apart by an affair. No sexually transmitted diseases. No unwanted pregnancies. No doors would be slammed. No dishes would be thrown. Home would be a place where you couldn't wait to land at the end of the day. Imagine. No children or spouses ever being slammed around. Because a follower of Jesus anchored to the truth wouldn't even think about doing something like that. What a different place this world would be if we were anchored to the truth. Because when you know the truth sets you free. Second payoff that we see here is that believing the truth saves us. The Apostle Paul says, this is good and pleasing. And pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge. See, they're connected here, of the truth. Notice that connection between knowledge of the truth and being saved. This is true in many other areas of our life. A knowledge of the truth saves us. A knowledge of the truth saves us a lot of headaches and heartache and pain. For example, when it comes to mathematics, a knowledge of the truth saves us. Have you ever made a mathematical mistake by balancing your checkbook when you're balancing your checkbook? Truth in mathematics can save you some financial pain. When it comes to medicine, truth saves you. If you go to the pharmacy and you want to pick up your heart meds and you don't want to be given Viagra by accident, probably. I don't know. Truth saves you in aviation as well. If I'm in an airplane and we're landing in heavy fog, I don't want the pilot to say, you know, I think the runway's somewhere over here. I think we'll just give it a shot. When it comes to aviation, truth can save us. Now think about this with me. If truth saves us in mathematics and medicine and aviation, just to name a few, isn't truth critical when it comes to the most single important issue of our life? Where we're going to spend eternity? Look at what Jesus said. It's the truth about salvation and a familiar passage to many of you. John chapter 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send, a lot of times we stop there. We need verse 17 also. For God did not send his Son into the world to what? Condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Notice how this verse connects believing the truth, who is Jesus. Remember, he is the truth, to being saved. You got to believe the truth in order to be saved. And the truth is, here's the truth, folks. No candy coating. Here it is. The truth is, we're sinners who deserve to die. Don't get a t-shirt with that. It kind of doesn't stand out that well, maybe, but you know. We deserve to perish, though. And this verse says, for violating God's truth in our lives. That's not what we want to hear, but that's the true diagnosis of our condition. Don't you want to? You can't get better if you don't know what our condition is, right? You're going to be treated for something. You got to know what you're being treated for and get the right diagnosis and the right help so you can get well. Now, some of you say, wait a minute. I've been listening, Keith, and I'm a little confused because, and this is true, I mean, when we started talking today, I said that Jesus is full of grace, right, and truth. Which is it? Because, you know, when you think about it, a lot of times they seem like polar opposites, don't they? It seems like there's this unbridgeable chasm between grace of Jesus and the truth of Jesus. Here's the most important thing I'm going to say today. Don't miss it, even if you've been sleeping up till this point, okay? Listen carefully. What looks like an unbridgeable gap. Jesus came and built a bridge through the cross to bridge the gap between the grace of God and the truth of God, between the justice of God and the love of God. Because the truth is, our sins had to be paid for. So Jesus said, Jesus came and said, I will extend my grace to you and make the payment for you on the cross. I will make a substitutionary payment. Now, we understand how substitute payments work, right? It happens on our court system today. Let's say that there's a guy in a courtroom and he's being charged with not paying his taxes. He owes, I don't know, $500,000 in back taxes and penalties. And the judge asks him, okay, so how do you plead? And he says, guilty, Your Honor. But he says, but I have no way to pay this back. Now imagine at that point when he says he's guilty, but he can't pay it back, this same judge stands up. He takes off his robe, and he walks over to the guy that is guilty of not paying his taxes. He stands next to him, and he pulls out a checkbook, and he writes a check for the entire $500,000, right there. He makes a substitute payment for him, because here's what I didn't tell you. The defendant is the son of the judge. The judge must make sure the truth prevails. Justice has to be paid for. But as a loving father, he makes a substitute payment in order to extend grace. Does that make sense? That's what God has done for us. Aren't you grateful that we have an amazing grace like that? Now, for those of you who are still of the opinion that Jesus is a bigger taker than a giver, here's what I want to do. I want to totally be honest with you, and I want to tell you something. You're right, okay? You're right. Let's not pretend. You're right. Jesus is a taker. And if you believe and you become a follower of Jesus, here's what's going to happen. He's going to take away your sin and remember it no more. He's going to take away your guilt that leaves you in your shame. He's going to take away the instability in your life that feels like there's just no foundation. And on top of that, he's going to give you so much more. He's going to give you the forgiveness of your sins, and he's going to give you the gift of eternal life, and he will adopt you into your into his family as a beloved son or daughter, and he will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit, who will always be with you, who will never let you go, who will never let you be alone. God will always be there. He'll be here 24/7. You will have access to the God of the universe through prayer, and he's going to give you a home in heaven that defies imagination. That is what Jesus stands ready to give you. And friends, that is the truth about who Jesus is. He is full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Let me ask you, what is God saying to you today? I mean, how does he want you to apply this to your life today? Maybe some of you want to thank God in a world of relativism and so much change that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Maybe today some of you want to name Jesus as the way, the truth of your life. You can just do that right now. Accept him into your life. True freedom is a paradox. It's found by submitting yourself to a new master, Jesus. Maybe right now you want to silently pray and invite him to be grace and truth in your life. Accept that substitute payment he made on a cross for you. Maybe some of you have wandered from the truth and it hasn't set you free. And you're ready to come back to freedom. I thank you that you are love and hope and peace from our storms. I thank you that you are truth. And the payoff that it is truth that sets us free. May we be people who speak truth and live truth in love. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Keith. We're going to move into our offering time right now.